The Blazers Edge Podcast with Dave Deckard.
I'm a little distracted. I think the Blazers are still scoring on Denver.
And Phil Nasons.
Man, that was a beatdown.
I knew that they would win big, but I didn't think that big. And they are still scoring. You can hear the balls bouncing in the background. And you can hear the voice of Bill Shonley saying, Rip City! Welcome to the Blazers Edge Podcast. My name is Phil Nasons, and I'm the co-host of this weekly radio show all about your Portland Trailblazers. And joining me to talk all about this is my co-host. Please welcome the exalted Poobah himself, Dave Deckard. Welcome to your own show.
Yeah, I can't hear you after that intro. I'm a little deaf in my right ear here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You must be excited about the Trailblazers.
I'm very excited about the Trailblazers. I'm always excited to talk to you as well. And I'm really excited about this show. We are on daily at 7:30 p.m. Eastern on Max Sports channels. We're hooked up on iTunes, on Stitcher. We have a call-in number, 234-738-3394. What's not to be excited?
Yeah, you can't avoid us now. I mean, we burrowed into your Blazer consciousness, and hopefully you'll make the podcast part of your weekly listening habit.
We hope so, too. I really hope so. It's a lot of fun to do the show. It's a lot more fun, though, when the team is winning and when they're playing well. And this is a basketball team. I got to say this. First in the NBA in rebounds, sixth in the NBA in points per game, eighth in assists, and second in points allowed. How can you not get excited about this basketball team?
Yeah, it's really exciting, except they hit a little speed bump this week. I hope you've got your seatbelt buckled, Phil, because we've got just a ton of stuff to talk about this week. This is by far the most interesting week of the season, but it's all seasoned by the Blazers' success so far, and we've seen a loss and a game that was closer than it should have been, a little drop-off in the offense, a little drop-off in rebounding perhaps. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if the Blazers can keep up their exalted status over the next month or two, and it'll be interesting to see if their record stays as glistening as it is right now.
Glistening is a beautiful word, too. They didn't glisten so much with the Atlanta Hawks, though.
No, the Hawks just wiped all the shine right off them. Atlanta played fantastic defense, and really, it started in the game before against Toronto in the last game in December, where the Raptors played really, really well and probably should have won that game, but the Blazers squeaked out another one in overtime. But you could kind of see the cracks forming in how Toronto was able to send extra help against Portland's stars on offense, kind of take LaMarcus Aldridge, not take him out of the game because no one does that, but make his job harder, make him pass a little bit more and think about shooting a little less instinctively. The Blazers survived Toronto, but Atlanta came out with the same basic kind of attack, plus a lot better defenders, forced a lot of turnovers. Portland, of course, lost Joel Freeland in that game, in addition to Robin Lopez being out. So their center position is a little thin, kind of messed with the lineups a little bit, the continuity. And all of a sudden, the Blazers looked mortal.
Mortal's a good word to use to describe that, too. Toronto, that was overtime. Another win for the Portland Trail Blazers in overtime. Atlanta's a good basketball team. There's nothing to be ashamed of losing to that club. They are probably the hottest team in the NBA over the last month.
And
they're like a buzzer beater away from being like 18 in a row winning.
Sure, but you have to be a little embarrassed about allowing them 51% shooting. I mean, the Hawks couldn't miss in that game. They scored 64 in the lane because Portland just had no interior defense. And again, Robin Lopez is out. That is understood. Joel Freeland went down late in that game. also a contributing factor. But really, throughout that game, the guards couldn't stop penetration. There was no backup for them from the big men, and Atlanta had their way with the Blazers. And that was a chronic problem that we saw early last year. It has not haunted Portland yet, but if it comes back, we're going to see a serious correction in Portland's defensive numbers, because that's just, I mean, it was easy for Atlanta, and it was a shock to see that developing on the court, even though Atlanta is a good team.
Yes, they are. But you know what I didn't think that I'd ever say is the Portland Trail Blazers miss Joel Freeland. And they really do. Now, what is it about Joel Freeland that, what does he bring to the Portland Trail Blazers that people miss? Because so many people, including me, just overlook this guy's existence. What does he do?
Well, you got to look at the way the Blazers system is set up. And they ask a fair amount of their centers defensively and rebounding wise. Not as much offensively. And that fits Freeland's personality and his skill set. What does he do? He's a blue-collar worker. He will go in there. He will get you rebounds. He will play pretty smart. And he won't back down. That's basically what Robin Lopez does. Lopez is just taller. So Freeland is a good substitute for him. You know that when an opposing offense hits Freeland, you know, they're not going to derail. He's not that intimidating of a defensive player, but they're at least going to have to work around him a little bit. He's going to be in position. He's going to slow him down slightly. He's going to let everybody else get in rebounding position, and he's going to get a fair amount of rebounds himself. And on offense, basically, he'll hit the face-up jumper down the baseline when his man leaves him open. That's all you need if you're the Trailblazers from your center. But if you don't have that defensive presence, that attitude, the making the opponent work, then Portland's defense becomes really porous. And I think Portland's other centers either don't have the attitude or don't have the experience to do what Freeland does and to do what Lopez does. And that's why you see such a radical difference.
And that's why the Portland Trailblazers need to go out and find someone. Now, as luck would have it, the New York Knicks waived Samuel Dellenbaert yesterday. Now, what do you think about Samuel Dellenbaert playing for the Portland Trailblazers this year?
Yeah, well, it will be one more guy that I have to learn how to spell his name right, because I chronically spell it wrong. You have no idea the torture of being a Trailblazers blogger. First, we had Damon Stoudemire and Amari Stoudemire, and they're spelled different. And then you have to learn to spell Joel Prisbilla. And even when you spell it exactly right, everyone accuses you of spelling it wrong. Now we have Dellenbaert coming in. That would be a nightmare. So I'm kind of rooting against it from that perspective. But, you know, I think it would tend to confuse things. I don't think Lopez and Freeland are out that long. And Kamen is a nice second unit backup because he does provide some offense, even though he's not the defender that Lopez and Freeland are. He's great for that second unit. Where does Dellenbaert fit in there? He's a good defender. He's a good rebounder, but his offense is just putrid. And so he's not really a great fit for the second unit. I guess he would be a nice substitute starter, but you don't need a substitute starter for very long. And he's not a third unit kind of guy, probably. You don't bring him in just to sit. Obviously, he'd be cheap. You're just picking him up after he's cleared waivers. But I don't know. I just don't see – I see a spot for his skills. I just don't see a spot in the rotation for him.
I don't want to watch him play basketball anymore. I really don't. I watched him play for the Knicks, and now I have to watch them play him play for Portland too. No, thank you. I know that you have a difficult time with this editing business with all these funny names, and I'm praying for this, that this does not happen to you, because this is going to be a nightmare if you bring this guy to the Portland Trailblazers for what, a week, 10 days? How long is Freeland out, by the way?
He's going to be reevaluated in a couple weeks, about a week and a half as we speak. So it's not that long. And then Robin Lopez is probably a couple weeks after that, hopefully. So, you know, it's a month. I mean, serious, you know, it's a serious time, amount of time, I should say. But I don't know. It just, I don't think the Blazers can get away with Dellenbaert's just chronic offensive deficiency. They ask very little of their centers on offense, but you can't really replace. I mean, everybody's just going to go 4-on-5 if they do that. And D'Alembert would look better in Portland than he did in New York, but not good enough. And there's a reason, I think, that he hasn't stuck anywhere. He's had a different team every single year of his career after he left Philadelphia. I don't think he's probably the most winning attitude guy we've ever seen. So it's probably, I could see why they do it and why they would do it in a sense, but it's not a good fit for me.
Well, the real reason is because it's so difficult to spell his name, and no blogger wants to give him the hype he deserves to keep the fans interested. I think
I
that's what it is.
That somewhere, yes.
Yes, of course. Yes, it's horrible. But off with that. Off with that idea. Forget about Samuel D'Alembert. But I saw a rumor, and I don't know if it's associated exactly with the Portland Trailblazers or not, but Jeff Green can be had for very cheap. And we've talked about this in the past. What do you think about bringing Jeff Green on the cheap?
Yeah, we talked about it last week, but not quite in these terms. The proposal that was suggested to me was Darrell Wright, Thomas Robinson, and some kind of filler. I mean, ideally a future first round pick, but maybe that's negotiable. And if the price gets down that cheap, I think you have to look at that. I mean, it does a couple things for you. Besides Green being talented, it gives your bench instant depth. You've got backup at both forward spots, more or less. You get some measure of flexibility with Nicola Batum and his future. You open up more potential scenarios down the road. The huge question with Green is, will he opt out of his contract this year? He probably could and at least ask for more money. I don't know if he'd get it. That would be an asterisk to the deal, because I'm not sure you'd just want to rent him for 4 or 5 months and then have to pay him big money. But it was also suggested that he might hold out on re-signing opting out. He might play the second year of his contract that's remaining and then get big money when the new TV deal comes in. And if that would happen, if you could get him for a year and a half for that cheap of a price, I think the Blazers should go for it, not only because he's a quality player, but because maybe next year you could package him with a young guard and get an even better return.
That's a very good idea, and it's a different scenario than last week. Yeah, I'm all for it. If they can get him on the cheap, do it. You know, a lot of people like this Jeff Green, though, and I'm not – fantasy-wise, I don't like him at all. But he's going to bring something off that bench, too, and it's called a little extra firepower. That's what the Portland Trailblazers actually lack, is some real firepower off the bench, and he'd be perfect.
Well, and what people forget is when he came out of Georgetown, he was considered something of an all-around player. He didn't succeed in his early career. He got a bad rap, but – I think that DNA is still in him. He can defend a little bit. He can pass a little bit. He's not a dumb player. He does some things on the court that are pretty nice. And, you know, Portland, like, exponentially increases your ability to be smart. If you're a heady player, you'll do well with the Trailblazers. And I think Green probably would fit well skill-wise. The question, as we talked about last week, besides the contract, is would he be happy coming off the bench behind Aldridge and Batum? Not sure about that. But again, for the cost of Thomas Robinson, Darrell Wright, yeah, I'll take that experiment. I'd love to find out.
Oh, I hear you there. And you know why it would work? And I'll tell you why. NBA Coach of the Month, Terry Stotts. I am promoting this man right now for Coach of the Year. I have a segment every week on my daily show where we talk about coaches of the year. I think Terry Stotts is not only the Coach of the Month, which he was honored with in December, but also the NBA Coach of the Year. What do you think of this, sir?
Well, I've always been a supporter, I suppose, since you first watched him organize this team and their offense. The defense didn't catch up last year. It's starting to catch up this year. I think Stotts has a lot of huge strengths. He's appears to be a consensus builder. He's able to get a lot out of his players. And of course, this system that he's designed is lovely. I think he doesn't get the attention that a lot of other coaches get, not just because he's in Portland, but because he's not a huge self-promoter. I mean, you know, when Phil Jackson walks in the room, because Phil Jackson talks about Phil Jackson, you know, there's this aura around him that he's his own brand. Stotts isn't his own brand. He's just a coach, but he's a great coach. And I would love to see, you know, a great coach like him, a kind of a guy who gets overlooked, get all the honors that he could possibly accrue. So love the coach of the month. He's on course for coach of the year. I would support that given the record so far. We'll have to see what happens in April, but yeah, I'm on board.
That's good that you're on board. I don't have to try to convince you then, like I did last year about them beating Houston. I enjoy trying to convince you of these things. I think this team is great. I predicted it'll actually be played on Wednesday's show because we recorded it today. I have predicted once again that the Portland Trail Blazers will be in the Western Conference Finals this year.
Well, from your lips to God's ears, I mean, that would be tremendous. And right now, like we said last week, it's certainly looking possible. So, hey, you got to keep believing until they show you different. They just have to get those centers back.
You know, I agree with you. Now, the Los Angeles game, Dave, what was it about that game that was different from a lot of games that we've seen the Portland Trail Blazers play this season?
Well, one word, I think, rebounding. The Blazers did not do a good job policing the boards. Los Angeles, it's a random team. You never know what you're going to get night to night. And they're bad. I mean, there's no way around it. They're just not a good team. And the Blazers played with them for, well, really the whole game. I mean, this game wasn't decided until the last minute for good. It was weird. It was random, like the Lakers like. But it also had its roots in just not being able to secure possessions. The centers didn't get rebounds. They didn't perform defensively. It was a different thing than Atlanta. Atlanta's guards penetrated like crazy. In this case, Jordan Hill just took Portland centers out to the foul line or a little bit farther and made jump shots. And Chris Kaman was slow enough that he couldn't really recover and couldn't really defend. And his defense didn't look very good anywhere he was in that game. Myers Leonard really hulked up in the fourth period. It was quite a revelation. He made a 4-point shot, 4-point play early in the fourth, and then became a rebounding monster. But they kind of switched him to power forward a little bit, had Aldridge guard Hill and what have you. So they had to monkey around even to get that far, and it was just against the Lakers. So they better come up with a better solution, and it starts on the boards. Because if this team doesn't rebound, they don't have the same confidence, and their holes in defense and offense start to show up a lot more.
When Myers Leonard is your leading rebounder and gets a double-double, you know you have troubles.
Either that or Leonard is just having the game of his life. It was funny to watch him. It was great because, you know, this guy's taken a lot of flack and he knows it. And he's young and he's trying to find his way. And he has some talent. He has some skill. But he's not been able to show it on the court. And just you could see him getting a chance to shine and saying, I'm going to do something significant in this game. And he did. And you could all it was like almost a puppy dog. He was so proud of himself. And he was grabbing those rebounds even when they were barely contested and just throwing arms and acting like it was the most contested rebound in the whole world and in game 7 of the NBA Finals. And, on the one hand, it's comical, but on the other hand, it's good to see because he needs a confidence boost and he needs to be able to assert himself and he needs to find a place on the court. And if he has to carve it out by doing that, well, you can't argue with 12-12 and so be it. I'll take that every day from Myers.
Yeah, who wouldn't? But the problem is we don't get to see that every day because he doesn't produce that every day. He's the ninth man off the bench, by the way. So this is my guy to whip on today. But here's what I'm going to make a prognostication about Mr. Leonard, too. I think he's going to wind up getting another double-double against Miami.
Well, that'll be interesting. The question will be, can he stay on the floor long enough? Now, the Lakers tried to take advantage of him. When they needed points, they went at Damian Lillard and they went at Myers Leonard. And if Myers is going to play in the crunch time minutes in the fourth quarter, he's going to be in there with Lillard. That may be an issue with a team that's a little better, a little more experienced, because neither one of those guys is going to stop their man. And without a guy to clean up like Lopez inside, you may see a team just target the weak spots and exploit them so that Leonard can't stay on the floor. But, you know, who knows? We might see. It's not like Miami has real intimidating big men. So you might see Leonard out there grabbing some rebounds. He can also stretch the floor, obviously. His three-point shot was way on last night. We haven't seen that all year. So that was pretty nice to see him stroking it. And if he does that, I think he'll find some minutes. I just don't know if it'll be enough to get a double-double.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Chris Bosh is the only big man who can play defense, and he'll be stuck with LaMarcus Aldridge. This is going to free up Joel Freeland to get a double-double. Every team that plays against Miami, their big guys, get double-doubles. And it's going to continue in this game as well. That's my feeling. And I'm starting to try to get on the Myers-Leonard bandwagon.
Well, there's a lot of room on that bandwagon. There's you and his mom so far. So
no, his mother left already. Oh, no. I'm trying to convince her to come back.
Yeah, you know what's awesome, though? And I got to tell you, this is great. When Leonard hit that four-point play in the early fourth quarter, obviously it was a big deal on the scoreboard because the Blazers hadn't had much to cheer about and they were down by six. It brought them to within two. But really, the Moda Center crowd cheered because it was Myers Leonard, because they want to like this guy because they know he's struggled and they want to see him do well. This is the difference between Portland and a lot of places. A lot of places be calling him a bust, be saying they're done with him, just hating his guts. The Blazers fans understand that he's not doing real well, but when he does emerge, they're absolutely going to support him. And that's one of the things about being in Portland that's pretty special.
Well, I'll tell you, one person I'm starting to worry about is Nicholas Batum. Now, what's going on with him? Because one minute he's doing okay, the next minute he's grabbing his leg and he's not doing okay. What is the story with him? I need him to get back on track.
He's had little stretches of aggressive play in the last few games. So things are looking up. His shooting percentage is rising, and he's taken over on some half-court sets, kind of like we saw him do last year. So he seems to be coming out of his funk a little bit. So hopeful signs. Maybe spring is dawning for him. However, there have also been some defensive tragedies that he's been involved in. And we've seen turnovers, which is part and parcel of his package. I mean, he's always going to have a few, but some fairly egregious ones to the point where you don't necessarily trust him with the ball in the same way you're used to being able to do. He's the hub of the offense in many ways, and now he's a little shaky. So we are not there yet with Batum, and we've not yet seen a complete game, let alone a stretch of week or two where he looks great. And, you know, I'm not sure what it is. It could be physical. It could be, I think, deep possibilities that he's just tired because he's played too much basketball over the last few years in the summer and in the NBA season. There might be a possibility that he feels a little bit more marginalized now. Wesley Matthews has taken over the third position on the team as a third star, so to speak, and Batum is now number four, and maybe he sees himself higher on the chart than that. Who knows? Hard to guess, but I'm guessing combination of fatigue and finding his way with these new, you know, with Matthews' emergence it's just not a good combination for Batum right now.
You know, the other thing too, he's averaged two turnovers per game his last five games. He's having some trouble too in his personal life, and maybe that's had a lot to do with it. This is a guy who wears his heart on his sleeve, you know, and they're killing him in the papers in France too, and it's unfortunate. But it is what it is. We want to see Nick Batum back to where Nick Batum always has been. The catalyst on the offense, the provider of the ball, the facilitator. The offense must go through him. and the defense. That's the most underlooked or undervalued part of Nick Batum is his defense. And we want to see that back. I want to see the old Nick Batum. If you're listening, please come back, Nick. We miss you.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're starting to see less and less that Batum is not getting the charge of playing the team's best scorer. When a guy went wild in the last few years, Batum would switch over to him in the fourth quarter almost no matter who he was. The opposing center, no, but anybody else was fair game to have Nick on him. And then this year, you're not seeing it as much. It's not there for him. He's not that dominant presence, even behind the scenes, even in subtle ways that basketball purists can appreciate. Nick has not been there.
Blazers Edge Player of the Week.
The Portland Trail Blazer of the Week, and I'm going to choose because, well, I said it first. I'm going with, I know this is going to come as a shock, LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah, I mean, I think you might have me this week.
I doubt it.
I guess we could go with Damian Lillard. He had two good scoring games. His shooting percentage was not good, but maybe the Lakers supernova, as we described it on site, 39 points and really saving this game for the Blazers. Maybe that's enough to make him player of the week, but it's a one-game wonder, kind of, because he has not shot well. And nobody's played. I guess I could go with Myers Leonard. By that theory, we could take the Lakers game and say it's Myers Leonard player. Let's do that. Okay, fine. Myers Leonard, player of the week for his four-point shot, his 12 rebounds, his taking over in the fourth quarter and saving the game against the Los Angeles Lakers. He is my player of the week for the Blazers.
Well, that's not a bad pick. You know, I was going to go with Nick Batum until last night, and then I had to scratch him from my list. Myers Leonard. Yeah, why not? Myers Leonard, you are our player of the week, and you can pick up your prize at BlazersEdge.com.
And it's a haircut.
Yeah, it's a haircut. And also, Phil will not rag on you for one more week.
Oh, I doubt that.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to probably. But honestly speaking, it's really tough to rip on this team, and I don't want to because they're just fun to watch. They're exciting. And the best part is people are talking about Damian Lillard in a great way, all-star material, which he should be. And by the way, folks, you got to get out there and vote for the all-stars because there's an issue, right, Dave? Again, always an issue with the small market teams. There's not enough votes for these fellas, is there?
No, and you know they're not going to be, but it was shocking when the latest results came out and Lillard had like 1/6 the votes of the conference leader at the guard position. Like, that's not okay. I understand that Lillard is not going to be voted in as the all-star starter. And I understand Steph Curry deserves that. And, you know, James Harden too. I can go with that. I don't expect him to win over those guys, but I expect him to be closer than he is. You can't just say, here's Steph Curry, and then 6 places farther down with 1/6 of the vote, there's Damian Lillard. That's not comparable. Lillard is on Curry's heels, at least in the same discussion. It's the same with LaMarcus Aldridge. Anthony Davis, I understand, should start. He is the future of the conference and the league. What he does is absolutely amazing. I'm floored almost every time I see him. That said, LaMarcus Aldridge should be number two, and there shouldn't be a huge discussion about that. I mean, Blake Griffin, sure, but he's not Aldridge, and the Clippers are not the Blazers right now. And what's happening is Aldridge has got like, what, a quarter of the votes that Anthony Davis does. That's too big of a disparity. And I don't care that they're not actually winning. I do care that the votes are that disparate. That's not indicative of the season that either Blazer star is having.
No, it sure isn't, and it's not very good. And I don't enjoy to talk about these issues when we need to see some good things happen. Now, here's where he ranks up right now. This is horrible. How in the world is it possible that Damian Lillard is behind Chris Paul, the Beard, and Kobe Bryant?
Yeah, I mean, those are pretty big names. Bryant, obviously. Let's not even talk about that. But
no, we can if you'd like. Go ahead.
No, it's Kobe Bryant's like, I didn't like to talk about Kobe Bryant when he was good, let alone now. So, but okay. You understand why. I mean, he's a name, it's tradition, he's a Laker, got it. But Lillard has gotten some commercial exposure. Lillard is one of the hot young faces of the league. I guess the safest thing to say is, you know, that transition is going to happen sometime. At some point, Bryant and Paul are going to wane, and it's going to be Lillard's time to take that spotlight. It's just not this year, I guess. And, you know, I'm fine with that. I just think he needs more votes than he's actually getting, because anyone who's watched him play would see that he has carried this team to some very precarious wins that they would not have gotten without him. And he is just deadly. One of the most deadly guys I have ever seen when the game is close. You just do not. I mean, the other team had better be ahead by 8 with a minute left, because if it's 6 or less, Damian Lillard is going to take that game to overtime or win it outright. He's like a 6-point cushion for the Blazers, and that's just amazing.
You know what I'm surprised about too, and I know this is a Portland Trail Blazers show, but Russell Westbrook is number 8. Now, how is this possible that, first of all, Damian Lillard should be number 1? Because you called it the right way. When that young fella has the ball in his hands with a minute left and less, you don't worry about the Portland Trailblazers, even if they're down by 3, because he's going to find a way to win the game for you. And Russell Westbrook, the same kind of way. Steph Curry, not so much. I don't see him as clutch. James Harden, Chris Paul, no. I want to see Damian Lillard in there, and I want you all to vote. We're going to start something on my show next week, my daily show. We're going to get Damian Lillard elected. That's what we're going to do. Now, the front court, no offense to Tim Duncan, no offense to Kevin Durant, but how is it possible that LaMarcus Aldridge is behind those two?
Yeah, Durant is always going to be ahead. Tim Duncan, he's not an individual all-star anymore. He's certainly worthy of all the respect in the universe, and I get that, and great. I cannot object to Tim Duncan getting votes for the All-Star team in any way, shape, or form. But Aldridge, again, it's not just position, it's number of votes. He is the games that Lillard isn't winning, Aldridge is. Basically, the Blazers' MO is LaMarcus Aldridge wins every game on the schedule, and the ones he doesn't win, Lillard picks up for the Blazers, and that's why they have the record that they do. These two have played incredibly. We've not seen their like since the Drexler days, really. So at some point, that recognition has got to come.
Did you see Klay Thompson dunk on Kevin Durant yesterday?
No, I didn't, but I can imagine it in my mind.
Well, here's what you can do. You can come to my site, philnasonshow.com, on the Tuesday blog post to promote my show. I have it there for you. He would never be dunking on LaMarcus Aldridge.
Well, LaMarcus might be smart to get out of the way after what happened to Joel Freeland against Paul Millsap. That, my friend, is why you do not block dunks. Because, I mean, he got his hand on the ball. It was clean, but he paid for it with his shoulder. So, it's like, but again, we were talking about what the Blazers centers have that's so special. It's that Freeland doesn't care. He says, that's my man. That's my shot. I'm going to block it. And I lost an arm. Oh, well, I got another one. So it's like,
that's right.
You know, something that Kamen, for all his brilliance, and Myers-Leonard don't have, that Thomas Robinson can't get in position to make use of. So it's pretty nice that you have a guy like that. In any case, so yeah, I don't want Aldridge blocking anybody's dunks. It's okay, LaMarcus. Let him score. You just get four back on the other end with a couple of nice jumpers.
Well, he doesn't have to worry about that, nor will you the rest of this week, as they have Miami, who aren't going to dunk on anybody, Orlando, who might do a little bit, but LaMarcus is smart enough to get out of the way of Vucevic, and of course, the hapless Lakers. It's going to be a fun week. It's been a fun show. Did we forget anything? I don't think we did.
No, I think we did all right. Although Orlando, okay, you know, I know we're not going to go much into the future here, but I got to say, I love – this is another matchup that I just love. Vucevic is I like watching him play. And Oladipo, he's – gosh, those are a couple of players I wish the Blazers had. You know, it's – obviously you want Anthony Davis and what have you. Sure, that would be great to pair him with Lillard. That would be drool city. But, man, Oladipo would look good next to Damian Lillard. And Vucevic is just his offensive ability, it would be pretty sweet. So anyway, obviously I know the Blazers can't get them, but I just like watching that kind of matchup where you're really entertained by the opponent, not just because they have big names, but because they play kind of sweet and they've got a lot of skill, and that should be an entertaining matchup.
There you go, fawning over the opposition again. I like them too. I'm a big Vucevic fan, but I think it's going to be a cakewalk for the Blazers again this week. Just like this show is a cakewalk. It's so easy to work with you, my friend. Thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of it.
Absolutely, and we'll talk to you on the Phil Nason Show in a couple days.
That's right. We'll be there on Thursday, as we are every Thursday. And I'll tell you what, this is fantastic. The Portland Trailblazers are fantastic. You can catch this show daily at 7:30 p.m. Eastern on Max Sports Channels. Head on over to iTunes. Give us a review, please, and Stitcher, too. Great stuff. Don't forget about Blazers Edge Night. That's March the 30th against the Phoenix Suns. Get over to Blazers Edge and pick up a ticket. It's real easy to do. It was so easy, even I figured that out. Until next week, he's Dave Deckard. I'm Phil Nasons, and this has been the Blazers Edge Podcast. Rip City!